Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 81 for the week of February 14th, 2026. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Get a marinky dinky dink. I love you and all that jazz. Joining me today, Kelly Ryan.
Hello.
And Josh Carpenter, how are you?
Yes. Okay.
And my cat Scamper.
Aw.
I have my cat Frankie with me.
I have no clue where my cat is.
Plotting your demise somewhere.
Certainly.
Yep, that's all I got. How are you doing? I'm back this week. That's good.
Yay.
Yay.
What,
we were concerned for your well-being last week.
Were you? That's nice.
A little.
Well, it's not as nice, but all right.
What's it like being on call?
You're always busy, and every moment of rest you can find, you take advantage of. Or things are dead and your on-calls are very easy. This company is not like that, though.
Always things going wrong.
Yeah, I'm gonna eventually start doing shows while on call. It's just, the place is crazy right now, so.
Well, did you play anything good?
Did I play anything? Yeah. I'm glad you asked. I've been playing Project Gorgon all week.
So more MMO fun.
Yep. And I have officially transitioned into a cow build. So people milk me now. They ask permission. It props a thing on the screen. I click yes or no. And then they thank me. And sometimes they give me food.
Are your pronouns moo?
Yes. And the game does a thing where it puts in like random moos until you level up your beast speech. So. Also, my cow is a werewolf, so I can turn from cow into wolf form and get stuck in wolf form during the full moon, but it's not the full moon. So I'm riding around the land, dispensing milk and killing monsters. Working on cheese, learning how to cheese make. As Hazel says, that's winning. Traveling the land, delivering milk and killing monsters, that's winning, right? All right.
Isn't cheese making just like controlled mold?
Sure. Mold. Why not? What have I been doing in this game? So, I talked about Project Gorgon before, and it sounds like it came up last week too, to some degree. The super server problems have abated a bit. There's still times of lag, but it's like we're no longer having times where you have to click a button and wait 10 seconds for it to occur. Which was pretty bad, to be honest. But
this is small dev team.
I think they're up to 5.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They were 2 for forever, I guess. It was a Kickstarter MMO. It's as far as I can tell, they finally got the features to the point where they felt comfortable going to a 1.0 release, but I don't see them adding lots of stuff quickly to this game. I think they will continue to be kind of pokey as far as feature releases and new content, but because they're small size.
Yeah. Wow, this is not.
And there's a lot of things that, like, you go on the wiki and it's like, we plan to, this is how this works, and then it will work this way later. And the wiki page was updated in, like, 2018, and the later hasn't happened yet. So somehow I don't know what the roadmap is, but it's very much out of sync with where the roadmap was.
Granted, we're all in different places than we were in 2018.
Of course we are. Yeah. It's just, you know, when you got a game this old and it's a small community, everything you find is technically a little misleading. Purpose, but just because, yeah, things have drifted since then. So I don't know. That's what I've been playing. It's fun. I have so much fun running around, managing my inventory, killing monsters, selling gear, trying to get more rich, trying to get... Oh, I've been in the casino today, and they don't have, like, blackjack and slot machines. Instead of a slot machine, they have match 3, like you're playing Candy Crush or something. And if you do well enough in the match 3, you'll make more money than you put into it. And if you don't, you won't. And then they also have another thing, which is, like, a dice-based dungeon crawl text adventure. And if you get very far in that, you'll win lots of money and items. And if you don't, you'll lose lots of money and items. Because, of course. And, yeah, that's the current addiction, is playing around in the casino. And I imagine it's one of those things where people get stuck in the casino and never leave. Because, you know, casino.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's where I'm at right now. Cyril, of podcast listener fame, has been playing with me a lot, and he's been learning like the secrets of bard and alchemy and other crafting. So like, that's great. Since I don't have hands right now on my character, I can't do certain forms of crafting. Hooves only get you so far. I can't even milk other cows because hooves, right? So. Yeah, it's animal has its advantages and its disadvantages. So I think it's a cool concept and I'm having fun playing the game. I don't know how long it'll last, but you know, it doesn't need to last forever. MMOs,
no, you've got a story, you know, yeah, like exactly. how many games do you play as a cow?
Exactly. But I could also, how do I milk myself? I don't know. It's a skill I got at level 18, Vaughn. And it works. I press the button. I get milk. I don't question it. We don't question these things. You do not question these things. Press button, get skill, get milk. He's like, I don't want to know. Like, yeah, neither do I. Yeah. You just press the button. You get the milk. You don't worry about it. So
there's no animation to show you.
No.
No. You just get milk in your inventory.
Yeah.
Milk. Maybe that's for the best.
You do now. Yeah. So, yeah. This has been fun. I don't know. That's I wish I had more to report, but like it's a basic MMO. It's got all the things in there. The combat feels good. The quests are all right. It's old school, doesn't handhold too much. There's a lot of exploration focus. That's like the big draw. It's like it's a world that you can go look around and find new shit. Like, oh, here's a casino filled with match 3 games. All right, cool. Let's check that out for a while. That's what
it
I like.
Seems like
it
could actually work for Andy. Andy loves match 3.
I'm trying to get Andy to make me money, and we'll see how that goes. But he hasn't committed yet, like, because he's good.
Like, here, just sit here and play match 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Till I have no money or all the monies, whichever way, I will support you, and thank you, Andy. Gonna be our title, isn't I? I forced my spouse to make money in gambling match 3 games or something like that.
It sounds like the equivalent of getting your little brother to farm gold for you in WoW.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't me who pulled the boss. It was my little brother on my account, yeah. He farms for me sometimes.
Yeah, that's always the excuse.
Yep, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's all I got. That's all I played, so. Would any of you like to tell us about what you've been playing?
I bought the new hotness that is Mugenix.
Ah.
And people are surprised that I'm into this game.
The game where you breed cats? They're surprised that you're into it?
Well, I guess I'm slightly surprised because it looked like there were, you know, cats getting injured in it. So I wasn't sure that would be your thing.
Yeah, well, it's very cartoon violence.
Okay.
Think Ren and Stimpy, Itchy and Scratchy. So it's more, all of the injuries and stuff is more played for laughs than necessarily violence, because it's the Binding of Isaac people that made this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a big deal because I guess this is their first game in like 17 years.
They've been working on this for a long time.
And you can kind of tell they've been working on this for a long time because, supposedly there are like millions of different variations of the cats. Like, it's almost impossible to get the same cat twice. But I talk about it being kind of cartoon violence, just a forewarning. The game is also kind of gross. You fight,
so was Isaac.
You fight poop in the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
There's like maggots and flies everywhere. It's definitely not an Andy game. But so it's a strategy RPG roguelike where you take a party of four cats and you give each one a different class collar, so tank, fighter, healer, etc. And you go through a series of maps, having strategy battles. And at the end of every battle, at least one cat levels up. And at the end of an area, like the first area is called the alleyways, you can either go on to the sewers or go home. If you go home, your cats are retired, but then they have a chance to breed with each other to make bigger and better cats. And there's also various areas in the little town that you can donate your retired cats to upgrade said area so that you can like get a bigger house to have more cats or add furniture to your house so that it attracts higher quality cats and the cats are more likely to breed and that sort of thing. So you're basically just kind of doing runs over and over again to either push through to get further into the game or back out so that you can take your upgraded cats and either breed them or donate them to upgrade your base. And yeah, it generates each cat randomly, but they also have fixed abilities based off of certain class parameters. Like the cleric always has a melee attack / heal, but they have a chance when they level up, they have a chance to get like a ranged heal or a dash heal where the cat dashes into another cat and heals it so that it can get further across the screen. And that the builds are random, but some of them can be pretty broken. Are there any questions so far?
Not so far.
Like, I have one in my party right now that has a tower defense ability that anytime something gets in range, it'll automatically shoot at whatever gets in range and do one damage, which doesn't seem like much, but like a lot of the little tinier minions on the maps, like the flies and fleas and maggots and all that stuff, only have one hit point.
They can wipe out big chunks of the map.
Yeah. There is a boss fight where this giant rat with sunglasses throws bombs on the field. And you have to take out those bombs as soon as possible because when they explode, they'll light the grass on fire and just make the whole map a massive firestorm that makes the level almost impossible to finish. Well, the cat with that ability, every time the bombs get lobbed, take out the bombs almost immediately, so it just trivializes that whole fight.
But if you don't have that, you've got a nightmare with your four characters trying to deal with all these bombs getting thrown at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's manageable. I've done it multiple times because each area has a chance to spawn like two. There are two boss fights per area, and at least thus far in the alley, it has a chance to spawn like either that fight or another fight with a character called Queen Hippo. That's like this big bruiser of a character that you have to that they have like a shield, so you have to like do more damage than the shield to get past them.
So it's like randomly generated battles, but there's also like set story ones or certainly options for ones for the bosses. Yeah,
like I haven't run into any variations with the sewer bosses yet. One of them is a ghost that kind of teleports all over the map, and I can't remember what else. And the ghost also randomly floods the map that like pushes all of your characters into various spikes on the map and stuff. And then the second fight is with like a giant blobfish that has trample mechanics and stuff and can counterattack. And you've got to, I haven't even figured out the strategy for that. I just keep hitting it until it dies. But it's all like really, you really got to think about your strategy with some of these fights because of some of the different boss mechanics. And I was having a really good run yesterday, and then hit a spider boss at the end of the caves area, which is the third area, and spider boss just decimated me.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the strategy is going to change every time, because you're not going to have exactly the same party and same powers each time. So even if you have a strategy with, you know, one set of abilities, like the next time you go, you're going to have a different party and have to attack it differently.
Yeah. And the different classes you can equip, when they level up at random, they do have a chance to have the same abilities, but it gives you like a choice between four of them to pick from. So you kind of got to sit there and think, well, what's going to give me the best advantage going forward, and what synergizes with their abilities that they already have. Like my fighter characters, I've been putting into a lot of their counterattack builds, because that's really handy. Having a character basically be able to attack before anything else can. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your cleric character, it kind of benefits you to have a whole bunch of different ranged heals, since the cleric can kind of get stuck in corners more often than not. And there's some classes that I haven't even attempted to use yet, like the thief character, just because having the tank and the melee and cleric has all been super handy. Their mage character, the mage class you can get, has low damage abilities that can hit like pretty much anything on the screen, so they have infinite range. So you can use that to your advantage to take out some low level stuff, or in the case of the bomb fight, being able to take out the bombs from anywhere. It's just really kind of interesting, the different strategies that you can come up with in this strange little game about breeding cats. And I haven't even unlocked I guess there's a lab that you can get later on that like really lets you customize the cats.
Well, I mean, they advertise it as being like a 200-hour main campaign, so
yeah,
they're certainly touting an insane amount of depth here.
Yeah, so and the runs will take like maybe an hour or two, depending on how far you push.
That's not too bad. Yeah,
right now I want to kind of stop my runs at either the second or third area, because I want to level up my base a little bit, just so that I can get some of the better cats and better abilities and that sort of thing. What else did... Can't remember what else I wanted to talk about with this game. I basically impulse buy bought it because I heard that it was out. And I guess they made back their whole development budget within 3 hours of the game going live.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah. Which I thought that was an interesting little nugget of wisdom. And I've been somewhat amused that there are that they've gotten certain influencers to like do different voice work for the cats, doing the meows and stuff. And I swear I got Markiplier.
Nice.
In one of my parties. It sounds, if it's not Markiplier, it's somebody doing a damn good impression of him. So I've kind of kept that one around. But I don't know if this game sounds appealing to anybody else.
It does. The depth almost is daunting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was getting kind of frustrated after that run that got tanked, because I lost to the spider boss. But then I got to investigating, and it's like, well, I really need to do some grinding so that I can have my house basically attract better cats with base stats, so that I can
breed them together
and you have to have like certain furniture in your house to like, you have to have the comfort level so high, otherwise they won't breed.
You gotta be comfy.
And also, you can turn off the humping animation in case that bothers you.
But why would you?
maybe it does get a little uncomfortable after does it? A while.
Do they stare at you while yeah. they're doing it? Oh, no. Yeah, that's the worst. I know you can see me, and I know this bugs you, and I'm looking right at you.
It's not too graphic. The kittens come out of their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I could definitely see it grossing out some people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a lot of fun so far, and it's Steam Deck compatible, so I've been playing it on my TV. They're playing it on PC is just fine too. It's all mouse control, so it's a little bit easier to control there. I think I can't remember how much it was. I think it was like $25, but they have a 10% launch discount.
Is this published through Nicalis, or are they separate now from them?
Is it what now?
Nicalis publishing this or not?
I don't think Nicalis publishing.
Good. That makes me happy. Let's find out.
Looks like it's self-published.
Yeah, looks like it. Good. And yeah, it is currently $26.99 on sale, normally $29.99.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good deal for 200 hours. It's just like, I don't know if I'm into this or not yet, so.
I gotta watch some people play it.
Yeah, I watched, there's a channel I like watching called Oni Plays that has some really funny bits, and they had the developer on there, kind of going through, like, that's how I learned that there are millions of cats in this game, and, They kind of went through and was just kind of telling these Oni Plays guys about the game, and that's what kind of sold me on it.
So I'm sorry, this is a roguelike or a single? Is there a finish? Is there a story?
There isn't really a story.
Okay.
It's just you're breeding cats and taking them into battle with you.
Okay.
And the point is to get to the end.
Yeah.
Be the very best, like no one ever was.
You'll run into different scenarios while you're out on the maps, where it'll be like you've run into a pile of maggots. What do? Like you walk by or smash it or try to talk to it, and there are it'll like highlight a stat. As you pick the different options, so like if you have a high strength stat, you're kind of encouraged to smack whatever it is, like the pile of maggots, or you'll see a kitten in an alleyway, and if you have a high charisma stat, you're kind of encouraged to talk to it, and that's how you get certain items or get certain bonuses for the different maps. And there's also a bunch of different items you can equip too. So, the only other thing that I've played is Dragon Quest VII. I finally am able to switch jobs.
How long did that take?
Oh, actually, let's take a look at my save file. Because I'm curious myself.
Because it was, like 30 hours into the first game, the original release of it?
I am 20 hours in.
Okay.
Yeah. So... And I haven't really done a whole lot of side stuff either. I've been pretty much mainlining this game. So, yeah, at an average pace, it'll be about 20 hours.
So it's streamlined over the originals, but still it's still not exactly a fast paced game.
Nope. Matt said that he was getting a little bit tired of the game, and he's a lot further than I am. I also forgot, like, what a jerk some of the NPC characters are.
Are people getting tired of Dragon Quest VII if it's been streamlined?
Because even though they streamlined it, they still kept a lot of the annoying bits. Later on in the game, you fight, or there are two different nations that are like have a canyon. In splitting them up, and you're constantly having to go back and forth between the two sides of the canyon, and they didn't streamline stuff like that.
Well, what the heck did they do then?
made it so that finding out how to get to a lot of the next areas is less of a pain in the ass.
Cool.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the original PlayStation game, in all versions of the game, you have to find the shards to be able to move on to the next areas. And if you miss, there were some cases where you could softlock yourself if you missed any of the shards in the original PlayStation game.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
So.
Did you played this on 3DS as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Which one's better?
Thus far, this one.
Okay.
There's a lot more save points, so you don't just have to save at the churches. There's like angel statues that they've placed everywhere so that you can easily save. And the zoom spell is a lot less restricted, so you can pretty much fast travel everywhere via zoom. And that opening area with the shrine was a nightmare to play through in the PlayStation version, and this one, it just, you go to the shrine, there's the pedestals. You don't have to do any stupid puzzles.
Okay.
Yeah. So, does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Did they do that in the Final Fantasy X remakes or re-releases? Did they get rid of the puzzles where you have to unlock the summons? Anyone know?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know why. When you said that, that's what that reminded me of. It's like another game with dumb puzzles that I don't want to deal with if I'm replaying it.
It was of that era.
Meanwhile, this MMO I'm in, dumb puzzles, like, absolutely the vibe I want. Because I'm exploring and have to use my brain. And also, they have good writing, so. And I pointed to my screen, and I realized nobody listening to this could see me point to my screen, nor can anyone on the Twitch see me point at the screen, since the camera's just showing a sleeping cat. So now I feel silly. Hi. Josh, you want to tell us what you've been playing and save me from myself?
Sure, I guess I can.
You guess you can?
I guess. Does that mean
you have to get permission from your cat?
Yeah, we're... Scotty, can I go? Yeah? Okay. Yes, I'm
good. I don't believe you, because Scotty wouldn't give you permission to do anything.
No, other than feed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all we're allowed to do.
The working relationship.
I've made more progress in Trails Beyond Daybreak. That is a lengthy game, though.
No kidding.
Does it
feel like it's going too long, like a certain Dragon Quest game?
I don't know. I'm at the age where
you just don't care anymore. You can't even say what it is. You're just like, this series needs to be done now. You're anti-Trails. No. You don't want to admit it. Okay.
I am enjoying the story. It could, I definitely feel like it could use a little bit of a trimming of narrowing down. But because I'm like 2/3 of the way through the game, and it's like 55 hours or something. Yeah. It's going to be like an 80, 90 hour game. But where they're going with the story is it's got me interested way more so than the last game, which was just kind of like spinning its wheels and going nowhere. But I also picked up the the controversial game of this week.
There's a controversial game this week?
Yeah, the Yakuza release, the new Yakuza Kiwami 3. Yeah. There were some negative reviews of that one.
I read a review and I understood the words, and I felt like at the same time they were wrong, and perhaps we just didn't agree in our foundational premises. I don't know. So instead of singling one out, why don't you tell us what you think about it?
I don't know if I'm quite far enough to have a fully developed thought on it, because I certainly have a soft place in my heart for this game, because this was the very first Yakuza game I played. I didn't play 1 or 2.
Oh my God. 3
was where
I
started.
No. That's wrong. That's not the way to do it.
It's not. I wouldn't suggest it. But, you know, like, hey, you didn't know any better. I had a PS3 And that was the time, you know. What can I say? I had a PS3. We all had PS3s back then. It wasn't right then. It isn't right now. But, you know, we needed them to play the JRPGs. And yeah, Yakuza 3, going back, like, I love that game. I love the overarching story. I mm-hmm. like the weirdness with the CIA plot yep. line of, you know, like trying to set up a U.S. military base on Okinawa and doing all the little
the shady problem stuff is the stupid scene. Town and the kids orphanage stuff taking forever and being annoying to navigate and go through. And just like you want to talk about feel like this needs to end. This is a game where it's like this section needs to end. This section needs to end. This section needs to end. Oh, my God, this section needs to end.
Well, that's just because you hate orphans, Chris.
I love the orphans, but I don't want to do any more tasks for them. I hope that's better in this one. But the review I read was like, well, now it feels all generic and meaningless. Like, whoa, what?
And see, I can't speak to that yet because I just now got to Okinawa because got distracted by all the, you know, like going around and playing pool. And, you know, like this is one of the few releases that has bowling.
Oh, so you're doing what you're supposed to do in a Yakuza game, which is anything but the story. Yeah,
correct.
Until you want to do the story, in which case, cool, that was a fun way to end my play session with Yakuza.
You know, had to go play darts and play darts on hard mode where you get drunk first and then go play darts.
Perfect.
And, you know, it's like all over the place. And they've got a bunch of new arcade games that they've added into this one that were not in the original release.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, I ended
like
up
what?
Getting... Okay, so we got like Slash Out, which is just kind of an arcade beat 'em up RPG that is very of its time.
These are real games, right?
That Sega of course. That's part of what
I don't
I love
know.
About.
For some reason, I don't know Slash Out, so feel
yeah.
I had to check.
Yeah, I never heard of the games that he was telling me about either.
All right, what else we got?
You get into the weirder ones like Magical Truck Adventure. So another arcade game, the actual arcade machine, I went and looked at it, is like bizarre because
you say Magical Trust Adventure?
Truck. T-R-U-C-K. Magical Truck Adventure.
All right.
So the it's an arcade game. It's just got like two kids sitting on a hill. These guys bad guys teleport in, steal your magical crystal, and then rather than teleporting away, they go away on one of the old-timey, you know, like seesaw the seesaw handled trucks that go on a rail mm-hmm. car.
Yeah.
And so in the original arcade, like, you know, it was like a whole setup. So you had the
yeah, and
the
it looks like one of those light gun engine games. So
So the original arcade one had the seesaw handle, had pedals for controlling, like, you know, like getting the cart to kind of like go on its side. And you're avoiding obstacles and jumping and all that kind of stuff. And they just kind of like mapped all of that to the controller so you can play it. Like, it is bizarre. Maybe not as fun to play with a controller. I imagine it would be a lot of fun to play on the original arcade setup. But kind of like...
Yeah, I got it on the stream right now. Wow. Yeah, okay.
It is worth going and looking up, like, some videos of this thing. Like, it is crazy.
Like, you're really just pumping a minecart and... Yeah, all right. And then you have to lean and... Yeah, it does feel like one of those like House of the Dead sort of like, oh, here's this on screen. React to it in time. Otherwise, it hurts you.
And then the one that I got really sucked into, I spent like an hour and a half playing it, I think, was Emergency Call Ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically just Crazy Taxi, but instead of being a taxi, now it's an ambulance. And they have... The setups for the victims are just like utterly crazy. It's the like the first one is like it's got this little boy and his Dalmatian, and they're in the back of the car, and they're driving along, and oh no, this giant tanker truck flips over, and they drive right into it, and it flips, and the car goes flipping over, and you know, well, like there's horrific. Flames everywhere.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I'm watching it. It's not that horrific because it's very low polygon and there's no blood, there's no fire. Unless they added it into your version. But, oh, the Dalmatian comes with you after helping get the boy out of the car. The dog is a good boy here.
Yeah.
And then you have to drive or something. What? Wait a second. They what? Left the boy. Or the mom?
Yeah, the parents, I guess they're dead.
But no, you're not driving the ambulance. The ambulance went on. You're driving the stretcher in this one.
Oh, what the heck is that? I did
Maybe
not
it's hard mode? I don't know, but that's amazing. Like, oh, that they forgot crazy. To take the patient. Let's drive down the road as the stretcher. But it's a driving game with a wheel and a shifter and all that, which I assume none of that is
taxi.
Really, none of that's really translated onto the controller, obviously, but like press X probably to go or whatever.
And
it's got like the arrows about you got turn here and let's, some very crazy taxi, except.
And you have to avoid wrecks because, you know, if you you hit another car or something like that, that hurts the person in the back.
Yeah, you got a timer going down. Bleeding. And so when you run out of health, the timer is their health. So
yes,
once
correct.
You run out from either taking too long or getting hit too much, you're done. But this person we're watching is very good at the game. Arrival. Good job.
I was telling Josh pre-show when he was telling me about this game that my favorite thing about playing games like that is driving the arcade machine with one foot on the brake and one on the gas, which, you know, you're not supposed to do in real life.
No.
Oh, yeah. Now you're seeing the second one with the street battle where the cops show up and they're chasing the
freaking bazookas. The what the hell? These scenarios are crazy.
They're crazy. Like I said, I played it for like, I don't know, like 45 minutes or an hour because I was just like, I got to see what the next crazy scenario is. What's the next person I save? What's the insane setup?
All right. So then I have. So these are good things you've described about Yakuza 3 so far. Like, is there anything bad? Is like the fighting system okay? I don't remember 3's being all that good to begin with, but I know I saw 3's... some complaints about it. Which I'm like, they got to do something. It wasn't great where it was.
I mean, like, it certainly improved over the original. Like, 3, it was in a awkward place because, you know, 1 and 2 did not have the original PS2 one did not have the greatest combat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a function of its time. It's back there on the PS2, and it had gotten updated in the Kiwami releases.
And they were great. In the Kiwami releases,
and you know, like even 4 and 5, the combat advanced quite a bit. 3 was in this weird place because it was the very first game on the PS3, so it was quite a bit smaller. They didn't have as much time to kind of, you know, they were investing a lot of their time in just getting the game onto PS3 rather than really advancing the combat that really comes in 4 and 5. You know, 4 is the first game that really has like a multitude of different combat styles for, you know, they have one for each different character. And yeah, this one, like the combat itself, just even the base Kiryu combat is like, it feels much more fluid. It's not as stiff and stilted as the original game was. Because even the HD release, like they did nothing to it. They basically, you know, like cleaned up the graphics a little bit, added in some of the content that was cut and just kind of like left it as is. And it definitely felt like an outlier at that point. This one, it feels at least early on, you know, like much more in fitting with the rest. Now I haven't gotten to where it actually unlocks the secondary styles to kind of see how that plays out. So I'll have more thoughts on that probably later.
You said that you played your Game Gear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kiryu gets a Game Gear in this one, too. So then you can go around, like, you know, like in the previous ones where it was a Master System and you could collect console games. Now I'm going to be going to all the pawn shops looking for Game Gear games.
That's cool, at least.
Yeah, so I was playing columns and some of that stuff last night.
No Ziploc full of batteries?
I don't know. Yeah, that would be perfect if after like 20 minutes, it's like, okay, sorry, your battery's low. You got to get some more double A's. That would be true to life, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I have memories of that when I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm driving to grandma's. It's like an hour and a half away. I guess I better get me a Ziploc with about 12 double A's in it.
See, I was lucky. I had the car. I had a car adapter and an AC adapter. So I always tried to look for a power source.
I definitely had the AC adapter. I don't remember having. I have distinct memories of carrying around Ziplocs full of double A's. So surely if I had had the car adapter, I wouldn't have these such strong memories of that. But maybe I got it later.
I do remember that if you lost power on your AC adapter, it wouldn't like automatically switch to battery power.
Oh,
like modern consoles God. Do. So I lost a lot of progress on my Shining Force saves.
Ooh. Bave often
because of that. Yeah, because I had, well, you know how AC adapters, the jack, eventually the wires get all frayed on the inside of it, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
Oh, yeah, the TV adapter for the Game Gear. Oh, man, the Game Gear was such a weird little portable console.
Yep.
All right, so more on Yakuza 3 next week.
Yeah, I'll have a better thought on like, the
good
character changes and that kind of stuff next
week. Oh, right, they have different actors for some of the characters,
different
don't
actors,
they?
Different actors, yeah.
I wonder why.
That is weird. I don't know why they recast several of the characters.
One of them, somebody in a drug scandal, I assume.
Person, yeah. Or? Yeah, there was someone who's...
Oh.
No, one of the new characters is involved in a scandal.
Oh, so. Great.
Yeah, great. Lovely.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it was pointless to do the replacement to begin with.
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, who knows what the original game is like, 12, 15 years old at this point?
Yeah.
Who knows if some of those people are still in voice acting.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Anything else?
No.
Is it?
I think we're ready to get to the feedback.
Feedback!
Hey, Chris, you're playing a match 3 puzzler right now.
Yeah, I am.
Is this your favorite match 3 puzzler?
It's my favorite match 3 puzzler on the Citadel.
That was our question of the week last week from Andy. What is your favorite match 3 game?
I don't have one. They're all like, you know what? I do. And it's freaking, it was the Bejeweled in WoW as an add-on.
Oh, yeah.
That I played a lot.
And then they added it as a toy later.
Yeah, sort of.
It was a jewel crafting toy.
It's not the same. It was Bejeweled-ass Bejeweled as an add-on. Then frickin' PopCap got bought by EA and all that.
And EA killed it. As is their
want to do,
yeah.
Well, Kroll answered, my favorite match 3 game is You Must Build a Boat, played on iOS. Probably my favorite thing that doesn't waste your time.
There was a second one of those that I don't know if I ever finished. It was much longer.
Isn't it on Steam?
Oh, maybe.
You must build a boat. Yeah, because I think the second one was like called a warehouse game or something. 88 games.
Yeah, 10 million is million. The one I did finish. You Must Build a Boat is the one I don't think I did finish.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It just takes forever to progress at some point, and I was doing poorly and not good enough at the match 3. I don't know. I need match 3 coaching. That's what I need. Who can coach me to match 3?
And then they have a third game out called Photographs, and the description is, Photographs is a narrative tragedy puzzle game. What the hell does that mean?
They do?
Yeah.
Where?
That's literally what the description is on the Steam
No,
page.
I mean, where is their... I'm looking at their developer and publisher pages on Steam, and I don't see it.
88 games?
Yeah.
I
just look up Photographs and see what that says. 88 games, April 9th, 2019. Yeah, all right, cool. See it. So
wonder if any of these are on Android.
Assume they are on all three.
But Josh, do you have a favorite match three? You said you played Columns.
Oh yeah, loved Columns back in the day.
Any Puyo Puyo?
Did no, not really. I was more Columns person. Didn't everyone who had a Genesis play Columns?
Yeah,
it was what you had instead of Tetris, right?
Yeah,
correct.
I had a very distinct soundtrack that I can hear in my head right now.
A lot of farting.
Well, yeah, they had the Genesis bass, but it was just you'd have to have been there.
Sure, yeah, being there made it okay. Uh huh.
But do we have a question of the week this week, or were we?
I don't think we do yet. I mean, but maybe we'll have one by the time we talk about the Sony thing.
Okay.
And yeah, all those games are on Android too. I have to pick these up later. I'm always looking for new stuff to play on my phone since I don't really bring my DS around anymore. Anyway, are we ready for news? Are you trying to be Press Your Luck?
I was going for Billie Jean, but Press Your Luck's fine too.
No whammies, no whammies.
You got a whammy.
Give me your money.
I don't know. Whatever a whammy says.
Fantasy tactical RPG Terranoth Heroes of Descent is releasing in spring. This is based off of the Descent tabletop game series. Do we have a specific release date, or it just says spring?
Spring.
For PC, Mac, PS5, and Xbox. And there's a demo out on Steam right now. Any takers?
Any takers?
No.
No.
It's fine. I don't know. Is this multiplayer co-op, or is this a single party that you just control everyone?
Solo and co-op play.
Solo and co-op. No, this would be fine. Based on Descent, Descent's a fun game. So is it already out? And this is a new one or a sequel or something? Or sorry.
Just says...
Legends of the Dark. Game. So it's a second one.
Okay.
But is Descent Legends of the Dark in Descent Legends of the Dark? Is that a video game? Is that a board game? So it's set after the board game, it sounds like. Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, this should be cool to see how it turns out, and then see if I want to play it or co-op it with others. Yay. Survive. Epic turn-based combats. Uh-huh. What else? Master devastating combos. Like fire and earthquakes, I guess. Settle the fate of a world facing unending darkness. Terranoth, Heroes of Descent. Oh, there's a demo that you can play now, apparently. Go play the demo, Kelly.
I've got other things to do.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I mean, it sounds interesting, but I only have so much time.
You got to get back to breeding cats.
No, yes. You just got to get back to Greedfall. Getting ready for Hairfrog's return to the epic lands of Greedfall.
Yeah, isn't this another one based off of a tabletop game, or am I thinking?
No, I mean, if it is, it's some tabletop RPG system that totally doesn't matter, because we are here to watch NPCs be awkward and say, drink a potion, over and over.
It's in early access right now, and we'll fully release for PC on March 10th, PlayStation 3 and Xbox versions following shortly on March 12th. And yeah, we've got a host of new companions.
Mm.
And their voice actors.
Are any of these voice actors people we should know, Kelly? I count on you to be my voice actor person.
Yeah, I don't recognize any of the names, unfortunately.
The way they're introducing them is really cool.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to watch the video. Like a cool credit sequence that shows the actors portraying the people as they show up on screen.
So you can see the full list and watch the trailer on our site.
Neil Newbun sounds familiar, like I've heard of him before.
That's Asteron.
Oh, Asterion. Okay.
Asterion.
Nice. Yeah.
So my bad. I did recognize somebody. Just the name. Until you said the name out loud, it didn't click. Oceanhorn 3, The Legend of the Shadow Sea, launching on Apple Arcade in March.
Apple Arcade?
Does anybody play the Oceanhorn series?
I tried to play the first one, and then the second one came out, and I felt bad I didn't finish the first one, and then I never played the second one, and now there's a third one. I don't even know if it's already out, or if this is a port, or if this is all new, and I don't know that I care. there's my story.
But it will be free on Apple Arcade.
Sure.
So maybe I'll try it.
So is it like... So Zelda-ish. We still don't know if it's new, though.
No, I think it's new.
It's new.
Okay. The game is the third mainline title. Okay. So it's coming to Apple first, which it did... The first two games came to Apple first before coming out on other platforms. So that does make some sense. Weird that you can play it on Apple's... headset thing.
Ooh, Vision Pro, yeah.
But why not?
And free in air quotes, because you still have to pay an Apple.
Yeah, Apple Arcade's what, five bucks a month by itself, and then part of many other subscription packages. So, and people's phone subscriptions too. Sometimes, like you'll get a like plan from Verizon or whatever, and it'll be like, you also get Apple Arcade or Apple Music. Man, we live in a weird time where. Everyone wants you to subscribe to 500 things. Hate it.
Yeah, it's called enshittification.
Yeah, you're right. The future is services revenue. What is this now? What's this next game? It's got Kelly-style music.
Bilena gets new publisher and demo. What is it, Heavy Metal?
Yeah, and like, it's... The music is sounds like Doom.
Let's see. Well, there's a demo for the game, which is available now via Steam, and the game is planned to release later in 2026.
Okay.
And inspired by Slavic myths and folklore, and that's about it. I can't see what kind of game it is.
It's like it looks kind of like a isometric third-person action RPG where you have to dodge a lot and then swing your sword and try to live and kill things. I don't know if it's more button mashy or soulsy, which is basically just like how much do they expect you to dodge versus how forgiving it is. But I'm sure if you play the demo, you get a sense of it.
Yeah. Challenge death itself, says in the trailer.
Who?
Could be neat.
Needs a board game again?
Cul-de-Sac begins releasing on Switch and Switch 2 in July.
More board games on my video games. Yay. Mm-hmm. Anyone play these? I guess people like Cul-de-Sac, don't they? No, somebody liked Cul-de-Sac. I don't know.
I've heard good things about this series.
I've never played it.
Because this was like a Saturn game, at least originally.
Was it?
The first one, yeah.
Andy was here. He could tell us all about Cul-de-Sac.
The last Cul-de-Sac came out on the Nintendo 3DS
okay. In
2016.
We probably have the same conversations we're having now of like, who likes Cul-de-Sac and who's going to play this?
One person says,
me.
Japan only on the Sega Saturn and then later came to the PlayStation and Nintendo DS.
Yeah, well, there's a story. So this isn't just a board game. This is a story progression with board game card fighting mechanics. Yeah, okay. Should watch the video. It's different. I should try it because I bet you Andy will get it, and I should just try it. So, when's it coming out?
July.
Oh, cool. On Switch, and then Steam at some point. Yeah, and you can buy a physical version now if you want.
They announced this during the Nintendo Partner Direct last week. So, Echo Generation 2 demo has been released. Via Steam and the Xbox Store, which contains the game's introduction. And this is looks like a deck builder.
This looks like a roguelike.
A roguelike deck builder.
You're trying to escape. It's a roguelike. You got cards. You very sci-fi and monster summony and tech stuff, and just, you know, check it out later this year for PC, Xbox.
Sands of Aura is coming to consoles later this month, on February 26th. This is a dark fantasy action RPG.
Cool, join the club. Isn't that like what every game is now?
Seems like.
Well, except the last one we just talked about, and the one before that. So maybe not every game. It feels like there's a lot of these, though. And like, you don't need that many of them. But we get a lot of them.
Must be easy to make?
I don't know.
Somebody must like dark fantasy.
Well, yeah, it's called the Dark Souls Crowned.
Yeah.
Emergent storytelling. Immersive storytelling. Emergent gameplay and immersive storytelling. There we go.
And then we had a Sony State of Play. I kept wanting to call it the Sony Direct.
Kelly, I have problems with this Sony Direct.
They didn't announce Final Fantasy Remake Part 3.
There was no Final Fantasy in it. What the heck? We did get a strategy RPG, though.
Yeah, Brigadine.
Brigadine Abyss. Which is, what, the third game in the series? Fourth game? I don't know.
Yeah.
The game follows the 2020 revival, which, like, okay, you took 6 years to get around to it. I don't know. It's kind of a new revival at this point.
I played the demo of that 2020 game, and I didn't like it one little bit.
Mm.
Well, this looks like it's more TRPG, very pretty, traditional type of TRPG stuff. So, I don't know. Do we get a demo this one or no?
I don't see a demo in the story.
That's too bad.
Do we even have a release date? Plan to release later anything? This year?
Later this year. Yeah. Okay. Neat. There's a story campaigns, apparently. Six campaigns. And then a missions mode, which lets you control one of 24 factions, each with their own win conditions. So,
yeah,
that could have a lot of gameplay. That's neat.
That's the gimmick of the Brigadine series, is that there's like several different characters you can start out as to play their different factions.
Got it.
The replayability.
Yeah.
They're doing another Kena game, which apparently we cover. Because I thought that was just an action game, but all right.
Kena. I guess it's an action RPG.
Apparently. Cool. I watched this trailer in the Sony State of Play, and like my takeaway was, hey, remember Kena? Here's another one. Oh, but she has to fix her staff. Okay. Oh, and you get a cute fox to ride on.
Yeah, that was cute.
That's all I got, though. So, I don't know. I have no idea how the game really works.
The game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, everything Kena looks gorgeous always. Like,
it's just one of those things where it's like it looks interesting, but not my kind of thing, you know?
No, I'm wondering, like, if you just put it on easy and enjoy the light show, maybe that's true. The way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it is. You know what it reminds me of? That Rare game that was the launch title for the 360. Cameo?
Yes. Cameo. People like that. Wait. 360 Cameo?
I think that's what it was called.
60 with a K, right? Cameo. Cameo. Yes. Yes. It's really got Cameo vibes, except like way more modern graphics.
Yeah.
I remember Cameo being very well loved, though, so I don't know. We'll see.
That was just the first time I really noticed, because I played a little bit of it in a Toys R Us, thus dating me. But I remember being like, wow, this HD stuff looks really cool. But anyway, sorry. Nobody cares about my interest in shiny objects. Action RPG Project Windless announced? Was this during the State of Play?
Yes.
You have a giant anthropomorphic chicken in a really bloody Musou game?
This is the one where you're freaking giant anthro chicken killing armies.
Muscular, big.
Like, Foghorn Leghorn is sick of everybody's shit, it seems.
Yep.
Son Kaku. I don't know.
But it's played very straight. Very, very serious. It's apparently based off of a novel.
Okay. With a giant chicken as the main character?
Yeah.
Is this a novel we can actually read in English?
Or? I think it's coming out later this year.
Oh, of course. Like all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Soon. Do you know about this chicken guy, Andy? How? What do you know about the chicken guy? Oh, that's all you know is there's a giant chicken guy. With no wings, by the way. What's up with that?
No, it has arms. Oh. Has to be able to swing a sword. Well,
all right, that's fair. Yeah, all right, fine, fine, fine. Rock-a-doodle-doo, the video game.
I'm telling you, it's a giant chicken.
Yep. It was a talking frog, Kelly. Uh-huh. It's a giant... Oh, right. Yes, that is his whole gimmick, isn't it? He was a giant chicken, and everyone's like, that's a dude. No, he's a giant chicken.
The Animaniacs.
Yeah. What's his name?
Chicken Boo.
Chicken Boo. He's not a man, you're a chicken Boo.
There's always one person in that bit that
knows he's a chicken and until the very end, then everyone knows it, and he's like, well, so much for that. Like a very ineffective version of Octodad.
So if you lose and die in this game, do the enemies just like, you know, take you and pluck you and fry you?
I don't know, there's a lot of enemies. You need a lot of chicken to go around.
It's pretty big chicken.
Yeah, but like, he's not going to feed an army of 10,000. If you want to watch like the game developers in some sort of weird, like talking about their game like it's an Apple product, there's a second video you can watch too. So,
well, now I'm just craving Raising Cane's.
Huh?
Now I'm craving Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's. Okay. The game's based on the novel The Bird That Drinks Tears, written by Korean author Lee Young-do. I don't know how to say it. I'm sorry.
And I mean, we joke about the ridiculousness of chicken, but aren't chickens pretty mean?
I don't know. Probably depends on the chicken. People have pet chickens. People like getting eggs.
Yeah.
What's Rev Noir, Kelly?
This is the new RPG from Konami.
Yeah, that's right. Konami, you heard it. Konami's back in the video game business for real. I guess they have been for a little while, but like they had like three or four things announced at this State of Play.
Yeah.
Including this one with the crying golden tears, and everyone's like, oh, is it a new Shining game? No. Josh, don't worry. It's an anime game. It's a Trails of, Tales of, whatever, button mash battle system, anime-ass, anime RPG.
Very much looks like a Tales game.
Yeah.
It looks really cool, though, I have to admit.
It could be, but I would say they just had a good trailer. I don't think we really know yet. I saw this live and thought, damn, a gacha game. But it's not, though. It just looked like it was, because all the anime game trailers are for gacha games now. But this one is just an RPG, right? Or am I wrong? Yeah. Is this a gacha game?
We have very little details. So
we don't know.
But we presume it. Yeah.
It's a gacha game releasing.
It's an RPG.
Let's see. It's by Ilka, whose last two titles are RPGs based on anime. What are those? Ilka Company. All right, let's see. They made Sandland. You like that, right, Kelly?
I have yet to play it.
Oh, well, you like the other one they did, One Piece Odyssey, maybe?
I have not had a chance.
Or is that not the Musou one? Oh, it's not.
No, that's not the Musou one.
Oh, where does this fit in the freaking storyline of One Piece season one? Oh my god.
One of the characters does have a black cat as a familiar.
Oh, so you're playing this new one then?
Yeah.
Old Kelly.
This company, ILC, also worked on Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, the Idolmaster Starlit Season, Pokemon Home, One Piece Odyssey, we said, Sandland, and then the Idolmaster Tours, which is an arcade game. So, all over the place. Those we do games for you. Give us money and a property to make a game for, and we'll do it.
I mean, the premise looks kind of interesting. The fact that you're trying to stop light from killing everything.
Yeah, if only there was a you know, award-winning MMO that had an expansion where that was kind of the thematic purpose of it.
Are you talking about 14?
Yes. Its best expansion was that. You have to be the warrior of darkness because the world's going to die to light.
You're going to steal from the best.
Yeah, all right, fair
yeah.
enough. Well, it's not like Final Fantasy was the first to come up with that. But again, no Final Fantasy at this freaking thing. Instead, we get Crimson Moon, which everyone, which was like, is this another Souls-like? And we're like,
My husband was like, you got Doom in our Diablo. Well, you got Diablo in our Doom.
So is that what you think it is? A Diablo-like with Doom music? Because that could be cool. I mean, at first it was like Medieval Doom. And then I was like, wait a second. They literally just had a Medieval Doom game come out, right? Mm-hmm. So do you really need to do Medieval Doom? let's see. Hairfog says it's also Castlevania. Or you pointed out that Konami also had Castlevania stuff show up.
Do we even have that story?
Though the new Castlevania game? We should. I don't know why we don't. Like, so first of all, this Crimson Moon is from... Who's this from? Probably Monsters. It's single player and co-op multiplayer. Coming out 2026, PC, PS5, and Xbox. And it kind of looks like it skews, you know, Diablo, Champions, and Norrath sort of thing. But I don't know for sure. It's hard to tell. And then separate from that, as Hairfrog points out, there's a whole new Castlevania that looks like a Castlevania, you know, full on. I'm going to make people mad. Metroidvania Castlevania. Mm-hmm. With like, you know, exploring and collecting and leveling up and all that. But we don't know. It could be just no experience. It could be like back to the original style where it's just action. We kind of have very little to go off of other than the trailer, which looked like, hey, they're doing another Castlevania. Like a 2D style Castlevania. So that could be cool. Or terrible.
A very girly looking Trevor Belmont.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. New Castlevania.
To the point where people think the twist is going to be that that's actually Sypha.
I don't know enough to know.
The artwork kind of looks like it's based off of the Netflix show.
Okay. Which I haven't watched. So...
It's actually really good.
I hear about that. I also hear it's really bloody.
Yeah,
really.
And it's not an Andy show.
All right, so it's developed by Konami, Evil Empire, and Motion Twin. And apparently one of those groups of people is the Dead Cells people? That Motion Twin? Yeah, Motion Twin made Dead Cells. So Dead Cells is a Metroidvania-ass Metroidvania. So that's a good chance that this is also... RPG stuff going on.
See, that's what I thought this was another expansion to Dead Cells before they said it was an actual game. Because that's all we've gotten from Castlevania the past 10 years.
And Hairfrog also points out Konami has not said that the protagonist's name is Trevor. They've been very vague, which leads more credence to your theory, Kelly.
That it's Sypha.
Yeah. I'm going to take your word for it, because I don't know who Sypha is, but sure. I thought Sypha was the ghost one, but...
No, from Castlevania 3, it was she was one of the companions, and she plays a pretty prominent role in the TV show.
In 3, didn't you have multiple characters you could be?
Yeah, you had Sypha, Grant, and Alucard.
Okay, so I need to figure out... And Sypha was the one that looked like a ghost wearing a cloak, or no?
Yeah, Sypha was a mage.
Okay. Because that's what I think of when you say Sypha. I don't envision this person. So they must have given him a glow-up for the show.
and bear in mind, that's not my theory. That's
the internet's
a fan theory.
Yeah, fair enough. It looks pretty. So.
I don't care what they do. I'm just glad that we're getting a new Castlevania that's not a multiplayer game or a God of War ripoff.
If only, you know, like the dude who made like the good Castlevanias was still around and they could have, whatever. Having Dead Souls people do it is also great. So whatever.
Well, he's making Bloodstained. The new Bloodstained is.
Is it? They're still making one? Okay.
Yeah. They announced one during the State of Play a while back.
I'm searching Google for Bloodstained Ritual of the Curse of the Moonlight to see if one of these will come up as...
Yeah, because that new Bloodstained that was announced was a new Metroidvania Bloodstained, not the Castlevania Bloodstained. That description is
Curse of the Moon strong. Is the 8-bit style, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't did the sequel ever come out? It must have.
It was announced
in 2020. No, it came out in 2020. Bloodstained, yeah. Curse of the Moon 2 came out in 2020. Okay, so that did come out. Hey, but by Inti Creates, which doesn't exist anymore, right?
I don't know.
Inti Creates just died like last month, right? Inti Creates is no longer involved in the development of the Bloodstained game. Okay. Wait, no, that was 8 years ago. That doesn't help us at all. Inti Creates, oh, that's the AI summary. I don't know anything about anything, so I'm going to just shut up. It still exists, says Alex. Thank you, Alex. I'm going to just shut up.
Yeah.
Andy had told me something about like the studio that made the... What is it called? What was the fake? Who's the guy who was making a new Mega Man? Not Castlevania. They're not the same guy.
That
right?
was Inafune.
Inafune, his company, but not the Mighty Gunvolt company, which I think is Inti Creates. So his company, the Mega Man guy's company, that's the one that may be closed, possibly, unless I've been misled by Concept. Thank you, Alex. Which is irrelevant to everything we were just talking about. So new Castlevania. Yay.
Yeah, okay, here's the Steam page for Scarlet Engagement. That's the new Bloodstained. Planned release date.
Yeah, I was completely wrong, so this is all still happening. I don't know what I'm talking about. So 2026, we'll get a new Bloodstained, maybe.
I was confused too because the Wikipedia article wasn't really being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't crazy. I knew they announced a new one because I was thinking about it. Or when they announced it, I was literally thinking about what happened to the Bloodstained series when this announcement came out. I posted the link to the Steam page in our private chat.
No, I mean, I think we're good.
But new Castlevania, I'm excited. We're getting a new Silent Hill that's not in our stories.
That was not, yeah, but it's not an RPG, so.
Crimson Moon. This is the RPG.
Which is weird because they just had a Silent Hill.
Silent Hill. Oh, the Silent Hill F.
Yeah. And like, I didn't play that game, but I watched someone play it and that had really good writing. And I didn't know Silent Hills all have vague endings. And I wish that game had more definitive endings. And now I guess this is me getting used to how Silent Hill works because they just move on and they don't have sequels, real sequels. It's a new game with new people, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, they have vague endings so that you can argue.
Is that the idea?
About them with your friends.
Yeah, okay.
I was telling Vaughn about this the other day. I was like, you know how they say The Shining is the most discussed movie on the face of the planet? I feel like you could say that about Silent Hill 2.
Mm. Because the dog ending is the real ending, right? We just have to admit it.
It should be. Especially in that new crappy movie.
Was it in the movie? Did it get a ref? Oh, okay.
No, but it was so bad people wanted there to be the dog ending after the credits.
To have the self-awareness to realize you made a really bad movie and then put that as a post-credit scene would be incredible.
Yeah. That would have been too on the nose, though.
Vaughn puts Japanese in the chat, which I'm going to try to pronounce. Omae no shiwaza data no ka? Which I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
that
I don't
for.
Know what he's saying.
Must be, I'm not crazy, you're crazy. Maybe?
Maybe.
Ah, no, chaos, that's omae wa no mo shinderu. That's different. Oh, James said that in the original Silent Hill 2 dog ending. He said, omae no shiwaza data no ka? I assume means it was just a dog the whole time or something. I got to translate that now. No, I don't. We need to talk about the next story. Underwater Ray Romano Zon 2 is coming to PC this month. I have no idea if that's the most current game, the latest game or what, but yeah.
It's the remake of 2 that has the action combat instead of the old strategy comp, the maps.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's less
story.
RPG. Oh, I'm sorry. What, Kelly?
We missed a story. AI limits for DLC expansion is releasing next month.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I don't remember what AI limit is, so.
Comes out on March 27th. What does the DLC entail? It follows the ending of the main game, and you have new bosses.
Hey, post-game content like I want for Silent Hill, but actually for a game. AI Limit, Irinae's Furnace of War. Comes out March 27th. So if you've been playing AI Limit, want more of it, there you go. We already talked about Underwater Ray Romano Zan 2, which is basically a Musou, says Alex. Thank you, Alex. And then we have something called Aether and Iron releasing at the end of March. Announced from Seismic Squirrel. Retro-futuristic, narrative-driven RPG, Aether and Iron. End of March, PC, Mac, via Steam, where you play a smuggler in an alternate 1930s New York, but they've got tech, because they learned about Aether, which is anti-grav technology, and there's a conspiracy, so you've got like this weird... What do you call this? It's not steampunk. Is it goth punk? Because it's 1930s?
Yeah, I guess.
Goth punk. That's what I'm going with. Gothic punk? Maybe not.
It's got a unique vibe to it.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's got combat with where you're like flying along in your car and you're like positioning the car and attacking other
Yeah, you
cars
got like, you got Star Wars speeder. You got Star Wars cars and floating city neighborhoods and stuff. And so this all takes place in your car, it looks like, which is a little disappointing.
The combat. But yeah.
The combat, that is. And then you have conversations that also matter and stuff. So that's something. And yeah, it looks neat. You should check out the trailer. Probably if you're looking for like one of these games where you have to roll in conversations with people and level up your skill to talk, but also have a weird combat system, like, you know, fighting cars with other cars. This could be good for you. This looks neat. It looks neat. I'm going to wishlist it. Add to my... Oh, there's a demo! There's a demo! Let's go ahead and add the demo to my... Diesel Punk says 7. Prohibition Punk. I like Gothic Punk. Is that not...
I kind of like Prohibition Punk.
Prohibition Punk. But that would be 20s, wouldn't it?
Kind of.
Hold on. We've got this. This is a thing. TV Tropes has a Gothic Punk. I don't care. Just go. Okay, TV Tropes won't work because I use an ad blocker. I guess we're going to have to let that. What would Gothic Punk be? No, what is your name for 1930s with technology? Is it Prohibition Punk, Gossel Punk, Diesel Punk, or something else? Probably not Diesel Punk because they're not using diesel, right, Severin? They're using ether. What they said, so Oh no, they actually have a name. You're kidding me. They call it Diesel Punk. I don't like that. Do we have Steam tags? We have RPG, tactical RPG, story rich, choices matter, noir punk. I could live with noir punk.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Punk noir would actually probably be more stylistic. It's punk noir instead of film noir. Write in and tell us which kind of punk the Aether and Iron is. I don't know. All right, what's our next thing? We've got Burden of Command, which is a...
It's a military strategy RPG, hex-based. Kind of looks like the old SSI games.
So it's DLC for their World War II tactical leadership RPG. Come out in a couple weeks. And yeah. You want to do World War II TRPG stuff? There you go. Not for me, but probably for someone. Then we have Nacon and Eco Software announcing Dragonkin the Banished is going to exit early access in a month. It'll be on PC, PS5, and Xbox. It's a hack and slash RPG. We got a little trailer thing showing it off where you are. Are you this dragon skeleton? No, you're fighting dragon skeletons. That's too bad. Or are you? Dragonkin the Bandit. Are you a dragon or not? Darn it. These are important answers. These are important questions. Nobody knows. You have a dragon with you. Yeah, and you get like powers that make you shapeshift into a dragon for like the length of the attack, and then you're back to normal. So it's one of those. action RPG with dragon powers. Go check it out. And you can pre-order and get lots of stuff you don't need. So, yay. We have also Experience Inc. bringing Monka Rufaunta, the hero, and the Crystal Girl to PC and PS5 in Japan. So this is a Japanese announcement. It will include adjustments as a result of player feedback, which none of us played it here, so I don't know that we care, but they're going to backport that to the Switch version, which is already out. And yeah, there you go. We got first-person RPG, first-person battle in an overhead. The dungeon crawling looks like a mystery dungeon point of view, but it doesn't look like it is mystery dungeons, just, you know, that perspective, that overhead. So very big head characters too. They got big head characters, and then when you're in battle, the portraits for your characters look like Etrian Odyssey style. So if that all makes a, sounds like a mishmash of things, that's because it looks like a mishmash of things.
And which game was this?
This is Monka Rufaunta, the hero and the Crystal Girl. It's Japan only though, so who knows when we're
going to get that. I imagine it will come here because Experience's other stuff has.
Yeah, all right. And Experience does those dungeon crawls, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Starless Abyss. That's coming out to Switch next week. It's a Eldritch-themed sci-fi deck builder. It's out on PC last year. It'll be on Switch this week, so yay. If you've been anticipating that, this is your warning that this deck builder is impending coming out. As is a game that's been in early access for a decade, Stellar Tactics, coming to PC next month. It's a turn-based sci-fi RPG, and you get to explore a vast universe. I feel like Andy and I played this at a PAX forever ago. Finally, 10 years. 10 years. Man. That's a lot of early access. What is it? Is this the year? I said this was the year of the old school MMO. Maybe it's the year of games actually coming out of early access, finally.
I mean, we did get Silksong last year.
Well, that was last year, though.
It set a precedent.
Okay. It paved the way. We have Blades of Fire, which came out on PC through Epic last year. 505 Games and Mercury Steam are bringing Blades of Fire to Steam. So, if you want to play Blades of Fire, what's Blades of Fire? You'll be able to do so when the 2.0 update comes out and releases on Steam. And, of course, I'm sure you'll get the 2.0 update on Epic as well if you already have it there. It'll also be on PlayStation 5 and Xbox. And save progress can be transferred to the full game because there's a demo you can play right now on Steam for Blades of Fire. It's a fantasy world. You are a, let's see, what do you do? Kind of game. We have a review of the PS5 version? Yeah. Which is PlayStation 5 version has a review, which means it isn't coming to, I'm so sorry. It was previously released on Epic and the consoles, and now it's coming to Steam. So this is just about Steam release, which... Yeah. Okay, cool. And then the game style is covered in the review from Jordan, but like if you also just watch this, you've got this must be action RPG. Because yeah, we got first person view of somebody seeing sigils on their arm and then they're swinging weapons and yeah, okay. Is this Souls-like?
Mercury Steam did the Castlevania Lords of Shadow games.
Okay.
Along with the two most recent 2D Metroid, Samus Returns and Metroid Dread.
So this could be pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's already out. So actually, why don't we see what Jordan said? Did he like it? Did he like it? Did he like it?
3.5 out of 5.
3.5. All right. So that means it's good enough if you're into this genre or style game. So you should. That means you should enjoy it. Let's see, what do we got? Mistfall Hunter? Yeah. From Skystone Games and Bellring Games, just lots of companies with games in their name. They announced a July release date for Mistfall Hunter. It's a PvPvE action extraction RPG. I cannot be less interested in that. Will launch simultaneously on PC, PS5, and Xbox. There's having an invitation-only test in April, a Beta 4 test in June during the next fest. So, yeah, okay. So, if you want to run around and kill a bunch of people and maybe get murked by other players and all your stuff stolen, this is the game for you. Yay.
Yay.
Enjoy getting very angry with your friends in your difficult action RPG where your loot can be lost. Because it's an extraction game, and that's how that stuff works. But fantasy extraction game. So, you know, if you're like, man, I really want to play that Tom Clancy style game where the money was tainted and made a disease, and I can't remember the name of it. But I wish it was fantasy with magic. No, here you go. Is that any of you?
No.
No. All right. Fine. What about Gothic 1 getting a remake?
It looks good. Boy, the trailer does look good.
So this has been announced for a while.
Not my kind of game.
We finally have a date.
June 5th.
And then you get a trailer. And so you can see like, hey, look, it's modern Gothic 1.
Yeah, it does not look like a 2001 game anymore.
For Gomez, I guess, is what this means, right? Is that what we say when Hairfrog plays Gothic? Yeah, I don't know. So Gothic is like a Skyrim... Oblivion-like sort of game, but I assume it has different leveling systems. For Gomez, says Hairfrog. All right. June 5th. Then we have a Netmarble announcement that there's a release date for the Seven Deadly Sins Origin. It's a free-to-play open-world action RPG. That means it's a gacha game, doesn't it? It'll arrive on PC and PS5 in mid-March, with the mobile versions following a week later.
Yeah.
PC, PS5, iOS, and Android. You can pre-register, which I assume gives you some bonuses, and then you can look forward to spending all your money on things you don't need in the game. Yay. And it'll look really pretty and be very anime. So, Beast of Reincarnation is arriving in August. That's from Fictions and developer Game Freak. This is the Pokemon Company's game that's like, I don't know. Monster Hunter, Souls, Pokemon combo thing. I don't know. What is this game?
It's interesting.
It gives me Nier vibes.
Nier, okay. Neokamon? No, Neokamon.
Neokimon. Yeah, there you go.
Neokimon, yeah. It's set in a post-apocalyptic Japan, so it looks fantasy set, but it's actually post-apocalyptic in the year 4026.
There's like robots, but also, you know, there's no civilization somehow.
You are born with the blight, what lets you manipulate plants but lack memory and emotion, causing others to shun and fear her. You have a canine companion, Ku, who is a malefect, which is a creature possessing a threat to the world. And you are supposed to like find malefacts and absorb their corruption into you, and then I guess eventually die and take keeping the corruption out of the world, but like you're going to make friends with this dog, and I'm guaranteeing you the dog dies at the end of this game. There's no way the dog doesn't die. So, like, be ready for that. Also, the dog's tail is made of plant. I don't know why. I guess it's corrupted with plant. Well, the main character's,
like, hair is also kind of like
yeah, because she's got the... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really know. Maybe it'll be great, maybe not. But, yeah, Game Freak doing non-Pokemon things.
Doing good big for them. They always do... This is kind of big for them. They do lots of little non-Pokemon things. They did that horse racer game on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
But this is quite a bit more ambitious.
All right. Legends of Amberlin 3 is getting a release date. Silver Lemur Games has revealed the release date will be early March, with console versions to follow. It'll be playable on Steam Deck as well as Mac and Linux via an emulation layer, Steam and GOG, March 2nd. So if you're into these classic 1990 CRPGs, which is what this series is inspired by, this will be the third in the series. The first one came out 2019, second one in 2024. So they take a while to make, probably a small team, and that usually means they can be pretty neat and unique. So go check this out, see if it's your vibe. We have action roguelike from developer PowerUp Team, Vesperia Bononia. It's coming out on PC in March 13th via Steam, and there's a demo now set in a gothic version of medieval Bologna. Is that a game? Is that a city? Is there a city named Bologna? Bologna?
Bologna.
Bologna? Yeah,
that's
it is.
A real place.
Okay. I need to learn how to say it because it's spelled like bologna, but that ain't it. there you go. It's a, and it's in Italy.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Olympics have anything in there. Cool. Bullet hell inspired encounters with fast paced runs. So it's a it's an action roguelike. So go check it out. Check out the trailer. See if it's into, you're into it. And, you know, get ready for the PC release. Mina the Hollower. Yeah, you know, like the Shovel Knight people? They were making a new game. You know, Yacht Club Games, those guys? Those people? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spring 2026 is their new release window for Mina. Because apparently it has been announced with a release time window before and didn't make it. So now we're doing it again.
So we're going to make it this time?
Maybe. So this was a release that was this was a game that was kickstarted in 2022. So 4 years for a Kickstarter game, pretty good. So mm-hmm.
4 years and one delay. That's
4 years and actually releasing.
Yeah.
And the company not folding immediately after the pretest is put on Steam.
That's pretty good to me.
Sorry, Ashes also, of Creation, looks, folks.
This game looks cool, by the way.
Yeah, of course. It's the Shovel Knight people. It looks amazing. It looks like I would call it a the Legend of Zelda
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening, but Metroidvania is what it looks like to me. But if at the very least Link's Awakening, so we'll see how that goes from there. Oh, Hunt the Night. What do we got? Dongan Entertainment and Moonlight Games announced a console release date for Hunt the Night. A pixel art action RPG will arrive on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch in a couple of weeks. That would be very soon. What is the release date? I don't know what the release date is. The game will arrive digitally. Yeah, so they have a night, they have a date, and we don't have the date in the story. Or is it below? Maybe it's in the trailer. Let's see if it's in the trailer.
Our page says the 26th.
26th. Okay, cool. 26th of February?
Yeah.
All right.
Couple weeks.
All right, then. And it's $20, and it'll have physical editions for PlayStation 5 and Switch this summer. And, yeah, so this is a game where the world cycles between day and night periods, which is weird because so does the normal world. So, okay. The humanity freely rules during the day, but the night is ruled by horrid creatures that always wipe out humanity before they reemerge in the next day cycle. The creatures or the humans? Probably the humans. Okay. That's weird. If the monsters win every night and then the light comes and the humans... There's a review of the PC release by Pascal Takaya, and you can see what he thought of it. Hey, 3.5 out of 5. See if this is your style game. It's 2D. Oh, wow. Look at that. That battle. Giant boss at the top of the screen thing going on. So, yeah. Neat. Kingdom Come Deliverance. Deep Silver and Warhorse Studios told us the next-gen versions of medieval RPG Kingdom Come Deliverance have been released. They are available for free via an update for those who own the PS4 Xbox One versions. Physical editions for PS5 and Xbox coming on May 15th. Does that mean... Well, I guess if you... This is like... we're upping the specs if you have a more powerful console, finally.
Yeah.
PS5's been out for a while, so that's weird. but okay. And if you have a PC, I assume you could always just change the settings the whole time. So you didn't need this.
Well, I mean, the original game came out in 2018, so PS4
made it work on Steam Deck. I've been wanting to get into this series at some point, but
me too.
It's on the back burner always. Oh, we got a new early access update for Titan Quest 2. So that's from Nordic and Grimlore Games. Excuse me. It adds the game's third story chapter, which sees players taking on the centaurs. It's got the Centaur faction as 10 enemy types, the new Boarmen faction with 4 enemy types, and new wild creature types, 4 bosses, new weapons, new charms. So, and Titan Quest is a Diablo-style game, so they're, you know, building the game in Axe. And, yeah. Maybe if we're lucky, they can add playable Centaurs. Nobody ever does that.
Probably hard to animate.
I suppose, but they have to animate them anyway for the monsters. Let's see. Making equipment for it all is probably the hard part. Anyway, so Twit and Quest 2 have heard good things, but it's not out yet, so we'll see. And there's a video talking about the update and the new stuff they've added. All right. So, the time to talk about new releases? I think it is.
I think it is.
Where did I put this? Here. We have Rune Factory Guardians of Ozma coming out for PlayStation and Xbox on February 13th. We have Caves of Kud coming to the Switch, which is roguelike, on February 16th. We have Avowed for PS5, the action RPG. That's the Obsidian one, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Calamity Angel Special Delivery for Switch and PlayStation. Under the Island for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC, an action RPG. Death Howl, which is a Souls-like deck-building game for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. It's already on other platforms, at least PC already. And then we've got Ys 10 Proud Nordics coming to PC, Switch 2, and PlayStation 5. This is the... Was this already out here, or is this the first time we're getting the updated Ys 10?
So this is updated. This is out worldwide the same day, so it's mostly being done, I think, for... to have a Switch 2 release, but there is additional content in it, like some extra islands and levels and stuff.
So Proud Nordics. So what was the first one called? Was it also Nordics. Proud Nordics? Just Nordics.
It was just Nordics.
Yeah. So that's the PlayStation 4 and Switch 1. And now this is going to be, okay. Now, if you're on PC, was there a free upgrade, or is it just like two games, or did it not even come to PC?
It was on PC, so.
I wonder how that works. They probably make you pay it, buy it again, don't they? I bet you they do. But I don't really know.
Like it. Yeah.
Let's see. I can tell. Ys 10 Nordics. Yeah, the original game's still on sale for $59.99. So, yeah. No, you got to buy it again. Screw you.
Yeah. No update.
Let's see. Hold on. Save data and bonus content from Ys 10 Nordics cannot be carried over. Wow. Ys 10 Proud Nordics includes all bonus content previously released for Ys 10 Nordics. Bonus content included in Ys 10 Proud Nordics is not compatible with the Ys 10 Nordics. Yeah, no, you got to buy it again. You're screwed. Wow, that sucks.
I think that's a hard
It's normal, pass for me. But it still sucks. Like, I understand not everyone can do free upgrades.
Whatever. You're not missing much. That game wasn't that good.
Well, maybe the Proud Nordics is. No?
I have a feeling unless they rebuilt it from the ground up.
It's got new story content, new adventure areas, and a host of new features, and all that bonus content that isn't compatible with the first game. No? All right, fine.
No.
And then another one, which is some sort of RPG. Like, this is a weird one. It's like a board game RPG called Double Dungeon, and I don't know much about it, but it's heavily turn-based tackle RPG where you like are literally rolling dice as your characters and fighting on tactical maps, and it looks like a board game. It's not. It's just very chibi toy art style going on, so you can buy upgrades and stuff, so see if it's any good. It's got that cute style, art style like Paper Mario, but 3D-ish. Play-Doh.
Yeah.
So,
and it has a demo.
It's got demo. Let's put that demo on. All right, sure. Why not? Add it to my pile of demos I won't play. Cool. What do we got for editorials?
We got a Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties review from Sam.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
2.5 out of 5. Enhancements to combat are great. Morning Glory and Girl Gang content is wholesome. And some of the new side stories are decent. But the amount of content in the game is overwhelming. Dark Ties, the side story, is quite short and uninspired. And the actor recasts are more miss than hit.
That's too bad. I'm just... The idea that they redid Yakuza 3 and made it worse. I'm having trouble accepting that.
I mean, wasn't the base game not really that good of a game?
People loved it at the time. Well, And like the problem for me was I came from Kiwami and Kiwami 2 to Yakuza 3. It was like, no.
That's a rough transition at this point.
But to sit here and be like, if I would have come and played this one, it might have been even worse is mystifying to me.
I mean, the combat is definitely not worse. Combat is improved.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get more of your take
on
it next week.
I'll get further and see what I think. Yeah.
All right. What else we got? Oh, an adventure corner. Temi Rana, The Lucky Princess and the Tragic Knights for the Switch from Idea Factory International. Released mid-January. And who wrote this? Sam wrote this as well. So, you know, one of those adventure games that we... Huh?
It's an Otome game.
It's an Otome game? Okay. All right. Yeah. That makes sense. So we like to... We won't review adventure games for reasons that I'm starting to wonder why anymore. But we do the adventure corner. So there you go.
So if you're looking for boys to date, Sam has a...
You'll have to read it to get a sense of if she liked it or not. So... I can confidently say that Temi Rana, The Lucky Princess, and The Tragic Knights is everything I love in a good Otome game. Organic feeling romances, mostly strong characterization, and swoon-worthy moments that make me want to kick my feet in excitement. So, okay, she liked it.
That's pretty good.
Much better than Yakuza, apparently. All right, well. Now what?
Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
We have a question of the week.
Yeah, the question of the week. What was it? Are we going with the gothic punk question or is it something else?
Ooh, yeah. Create a punk.
Gothic punk or punk noir or something else? I hate that question, but I'm trying to think of what else. You want to write in and make up a reason why Final Fantasy VII Part 3 wasn't announced at the thing this week? No one's going to do that, are they?
Because Squeenix is dragging their feet.
But we also complain when they announce things like 3 years before they're coming out.
It's true. Yeah, and they're not going to do it for 3 years, then screw it. Hmm. Okay. Nobody knows. Man, no questions of the week. We got to have something.
All right. Or here you go. What's the most disappointing remake you've played with Yakuza?
Oh, I love it. What's the most disappointing remake you've ever played?
Wild Arms Alter Code F.
Really? Hey.
Prettier graphics does not always mean a better game.
Fair.
Okay. I love it. I'm trying to think of remakes I've played that I didn't like.
Yeah, that's me. I'm struggling. I guess I'll find out with Kiwami 3.
I mean, there was the slow loading times of the Tactics remake on PSP. But I like the fact that there was an actual translation, so it's hard to really complain.
Yeah, those load times killed that the PSP version for me. I tried to explain that, and it was just like, every time I need to manipulate the map, it's like, oh, God, this takes so long to even just, like, move the map. Oh, no.
Vaughn in the chat suggests the modern versions of Secret Agent Man from the DOS days, done with the Unity engine. Shudder. Like, oh, okay. All right, I'm going to call it there. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. If you'd like to watch this show live, it's at twitch.tv/RPGamer. And so will people like Tam and Hairfrog and Scar and Peter and everyone else who streams. Thank you, everybody. And Smoke and Joe. And who am I forgetting? This morning, Spare Parts. Spare Hombres, excuse me. Thank you. Spare Parts. Oh, my gosh. I need to go back to bed, I guess. Before I go, though, I need to ask you all, what are you going to play this week? Kelly.
More Mugenix and Dragon Quest VII.
Yeah, that makes sense. No Rune Factory for you?
I already finished
Rune Factory. You played that one already. Okay, because it's just the console port. All right. Josh.
More Kiwami 3. We'll see if it's if it's bad.
And more Trails? More Trails?
Yeah, more Trails.
The Trails never ends.
No. I'm at the point where I need a distraction from the Trails.
The real Kiwami will be the Trails you played along the way.
Correct.
Or something. Okay. I'm going to play more Project Gothic. I'm having fun playing an MMO. Once I'm done with that, it's going to be... I can tell you what's next on my plate once I'm done with that, assuming something else doesn't distract me. It would be me debating whether or not I'm going to play Dragon Quest 11 and finish that post-game content I never got around to, and or Dragon Quest 7. And then the things competing with one of those Dragon Quest games, like I've got the Dragon Quest category versus actually going back and like working on Expedition 33, because like it's about time I finish that or get back to that, because that was like a year ago. Come on, Chris. Was it a year ago? It feels like forever ago.
It was a year ago.
I'm terrible. Okay, cool. The year went away so quickly. And we're going to go away quickly soon. So I want to tell you, thank you. We appreciate you. Love you. I had some reports of podcast issues from one person on our Discord. So if other people are having issues getting new episodes of podcasts, we have a podcast channel in our Discord. If you could tell me there, like what feed you're using, what podcast client isn't working. I can't fix everything, but at least I can give you pointers about how I set up my podcast client and make it work. So, and if there's something broken, that is the only way I'll learn about it. So let me know there. Anything else? I guess nothing, right?
I think that's it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.